come and been in the service. Romans chapter number 3. Romans is known as the doctrinal book. This is where the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Jew and the Gentile alike. And you know, up until this point, the Jew had felt like they had the advantage, and surely they did, because they had the very oracles of God given to them. The laws of God was given to them. But it was never, the law was never given to them to produce righteousness. It was to give them the knowledge of sin. But they were using it to boast in the fact that if they could keep the law, then they would have somewhat to boast in. And in that, they could obtain the righteousness of God. Well, that wasn't the way that God, His plan, had it fixed. It wasn't that way. They missed in that. And so now the Apostle Paul, as he begins to bring into them the light of where righteousness comes. Now, let me say this concerning that for just a second. Righteousness. Who cares about righteousness? Let that statement sink. Look at the world. Do they care? We have our elected official. We have from the federal government to the local government to the state government. They're not interested in righteousness. They're interested in gain. They're the leaders of this great nation. But look at the world. Look at the dictators of the world. They're not interested in righteousness. They're interested in gain and control and power. Not interested in your righteousness. Who cares? The righteousness of God. Why are we so particular, and why do we think about the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God. Well, why can't we just declare our own self-righteous? After all, if we do good and we don't cuss, we don't drink liquor, we do it by the book, so to say. Everything we do, we say, well, it's okay, so it's right, so we're better than the next person. So as long as we uphold a good moral standard of righteousness, well, then what's wrong with that? If I'm better than you are, and in my righteousness I live better than you, well, then I can declare myself righteous and you're wrong. Who does that? Who cares about the righteousness? God does. God does. In third chapter of the book of Romans, stand with me. Let me read one verse. Verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our Father, we bowed your divine presence, O Lord, again this morning, as humble as we know how. We thank you, dear God, for the opportunity that we have to stand one more time. Lord, we realize, Father, the necessity and the responsibility that's laid on us. And you said, woe is me, as the Apostle Paul said, if I preach not the gospel. Father, I pray this morning that you'd take thy servant for a little while and use us for your glory and for your honor. Lord, that we might be castaways. Lord, for the cross sake, we ask you, Father, that your will be done here in this service. Father, I pray today, Lord, that you'd help me. Lord, forgive me of my sins and of my failures and shortcomings. And help us this morning, Lord, to deliver to these people what's on our heart that you've laid on our heart today. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd give us words. You'd anoint us afresh. Lord, I pray today, God, that you'd help us to see you for who you are. And see us for who we are. We ask you now to go with us in the service and what you do today. We'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I was sitting in the service one day, the church I was pastoring, and I got to thinking about my role as a pastor, my calling. And I got to thinking, well, if all I had to do was live just as good, just a little bit above the church people, well, then I'd be all right. Everything would be fine. I could get away with some things they would know about because I could live just a little above them. And then the Holy Spirit pricked my heart and told me that I wasn't responsible to them. I was responsible to God. And that my judgment would come from God. And I realized that I couldn't look toward the congregation to judge by, but that I would have to be judged by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And I realized that righteousness had to be higher than what I thought of righteousness. Righteousness, the Bible said here that it is written, there is none righteous. Now, righteousness is a declaration of God to declare one righteousness, one right. And to be right with God, the Bible tells us, teaches us, that we ought to have a high value of God and to see Him higher than ourselves. The Bible said there's none righteous. The Jew felt like they were righteous because they were handed the law, and because that they felt like that they had a higher calling than the rest of the world, or even the Gentiles. But the Apostle Paul shined a little light on them and let them realize that righteousness did not come by the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. And the Bible tells us that righteousness comes by faith. And so you remember the Bible said and teaches that the Jew hinged their religion on their father Abraham. And the Bible said that Abraham obtained righteousness not by the law, because the law was not given to Abraham in Abraham's day. It was given to Moses in Moses' day. And so righteousness was before the law, because the Bible said that it was imputed unto him, it was imputed unto Abraham, the righteousness of God by faith. And then if the righteousness of God was given by the law, then Abraham would not have attained righteousness. But it was not given by the law. It was given by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that, we're declared righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The declaration of righteousness. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. And so we find not only the declaration of righteousness, but we find the declaration of guilt. Man's guilt. Man is guilty, the Bible tells us, under the law. Now the Bible tells us in this declaration, there's a feeling that comes. There's not only the declaration, but there's a feeling of guilt. You know why we feel wrong? Is because we have that feeling of guilt. All are guilty under sin. The Bible tells us here. And because of that guilt, we have the dullness in our mind. The Bible said, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And so we know that we're dull in our declaration of guilt. Our minds have been darkened because we're guilty. Listen today, these Jews, they felt like that they were high and above everybody else. But the Apostle Paul said, no, there is none good. No, not one. There is none righteous. No, not one. So if you're here this morning and you look around the congregation and you feel like you're better than somebody else, I'm here as a man of God to declare to you that we're all guilty under sin. And every person must be born again if they have any fellowship with God. They have to obtain the righteousness of God if we have any favor with God. God will not dwell in an unclean vessel. Amen. We have to obtain righteousness, for God is holy and He's righteous and He's good. And if we stand in the presence of God, we're going to have to stand with a declaration of righteousness upon us, and that is only obtained by faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen. I tell you, I'd like to stand up here and tell you that I'm going to heaven because I'm a preacher, but I can't. I was declared guilty in the judgment halls of God, and according to His word, I was guilty in my sins, and I couldn't do anything about it because I was dull in my mind, and I was dark in my deeds. But I also was dead in myself. dead in trespasses and sin. Was not anything that I could do to save myself. Not anything that I could do to stand in front of a holy God and declare in myself that I'm right. But I'm going to tell you, neither could you this morning. If you're here lost and undone without God, the very principle of your lostness is that you're not right with God. Amen. That's the problem today, is we do not stand in the righteousness of God, and we cannot save ourselves, and we cannot get good enough, because he says there is no one good. Amen. And so we find this guilty feeling. It's not only are we declared guilty, but we feel guilty. When we don't do right, it doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't. And we're always trying to find that place in our lives where we can get to be to be good. Somebody said he had a case of the do-gooders, and to find good, he's turned over a new leaf and he's changed from being bad, and now he's trying to do good. But none of that counts when we stand before a righteous judge and a holy judge. You can be as good morally as you can be in this world and still die in your sin and die and go to hell. My friend, we don't go to heaven based upon how good we are. We go to heaven because of how good Jesus is. Amen. And we put our trust in his finished work when he shed his blood at Calvary for our sins. And we trusted in him and we're saved. And because of that, his righteousness was imputed unto us. And no longer are we dead in trespasses and sin, but we stand justified in the presence of a holy God. Amen. I'm telling you, that guilty feeling will be wiped away. Amen. I remember when I was a young boy coming to church. I never will forget the first time I went to church there on Berry Mountain in Blount County. And them Christians, they began to worship God. And the preachers began to get loud and preach. I never been in something like that. And people began to shout. And I got scared. And the Bible tells us, and I didn't know it, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I don't know why I got scared. I don't know why there was an uneasy feeling that shut up in my heart, other than I was a dopehead and a drunk, and I knew that I was in a place of righteousness and holiness in the presence of God. And I knew that, and I got scared for the first time. And I run out the church house and hit the door and left the church that day, scared to death. There's something gripped my heart, and I never got away from the convicting of the Holy Spirit that day. That revealed unto me that I was wrong and that I was guilty. And without him, I'd die and go to hell. I'm going to tell you that. Then a few years later, I wound up in another church service, and the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same church was there. Amen. And the Holy Ghost again touched my heart. And that time, instead of running out, I run in. Hallelujah. And I began to pray and ask God's forgiveness. And at that point in time, the righteousness of God was put into my heart, thank God. And now I stand in the presence of a holy God, right, hallelujah, not wrong. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, it means something when you talk about righteousness. Amen. When you talk about the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God comes with two things. It comes, one, with believing. We have to believe in God's Son, His Son Jesus. We have to believe. The Bible said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's the only way that we can be redeemed from a position of guilt to a position of righteousness. Amen. We cannot obtain righteousness within ourselves. The law, no one can keep the law. The law pointed unto grace. And because grace came, truth and righteousness come with it. Hallelujah. And I'm glad, thank God, this morning that I can stand in a pulpit and preach unto you that righteousness is available to whosoever will. Let him come. Let him come and obtain righteousness. It doesn't come by a pat on the back. I'll be honest with you. I can't declare you righteous. I can't come to you and pat you on the back and say you're a good boy. I can't do that. For none is good. No, not one is good. None righteous. No, not one righteous. We've got nothing to boast in except the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ went there and shed his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And listen, there's no remission of the guilt and the shame of sin. But thank God when Jesus died at Calvary, all of them who would put their trust in the finished work that he accomplished at Calvary, amen, when he took his blood, went back to the Holy of Holies in heaven, placed it on the mercy seat, sat down, he declared it's finished. And for all who will come to God, I can stand in the righteousness by faith in Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? I tell you, if it was where it could come by man, man had put a price on it. You'd have to buy it. And then if we bought it, it would be so popular in buying it until somebody would want to gather it all up. Want to gather it up. And then what ends up happening is that it's a pick and choose game. Who you want to pick and who you want to choose to obtain righteousness. But it wasn't that way with God. Amen. It's a whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. Let him come and obtain righteousness. Amen. By faith in the Lord Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. But righteousness, not only did it come with believing, but it comes with a blessing. It does. The Bible said, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. He said, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And he said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And he said, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And then he says, how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. All the blessedness of this righteousness wasn't obtained by any good works of the flesh, but it's imputed solely on God's grace when he gave it to us through Jesus Christ, the justifier of them that are made just. The justifier of them that are made just. This morning, righteousness has to be obtained if we're able to stand in the presence of a holy God. He cannot look upon sin and will not condone sin nor compromise with sin. He will not do it. Righteousness has to be imputed and given to us because we cannot get it, number one, by the law, and we cannot get it by good works. So it has to come by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, believing in what he did, who he is, and what he did at Calvary, and why he did that at Calvary. I don't go to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I don't get to stand in the presence of God because I'm a preacher. No. I stand in the presence of a holy God robed in the righteousness of his darling Son, Jesus Christ, that was given to me freely when I believed in him. Amen. Amen. And by that, my sins were forgiven. My guilt was rolled away. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Amen. We finally There's no more feeling of guilt. There's no more dull in my hearing and understanding. There's no more darkened in my actions. There's no more death in my life because of His righteousness. I can live now in that faith and that righteousness with God. When God sees me, He doesn't look at me and say, "There's that old filthy sinner, William." He doesn't do that. He sees His darling Son, in whom His blood was applied and the righteousness imputed and given unto me. And that's why I can stand in the presence of a holy God. I'm telling you this morning, there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm inclined to believe that the church's responsibility is not to save people, but to show them that they're lost. Amen. That's the church's responsibility, because we can't save anyhow. But what we can do is we can reveal in God's word the lostness of a man. We're to get them lost, get them broke, get them sick. Ain't that right? Amen. Somebody said, "I thought it was to make us feel good." Well, I guess there's an aspect of it. After you feel bad and you're saved, then you can feel good. But until then, you can't feel good. There is no joy, no peace there. We're guilty because God declared we're guilty. We sin because we're sinners. Somebody said, "I was a sinner when I committed sin." You was a sinner before you committed sin, because we was all guilty. Amen. Under the condemnation of that guilt, we had no hope. But aren't you glad Jesus came? Amen. To bring hope. Amen. Now we can stand. Do you remember what the Lord said when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Amen. Why would Jesus say that at the cross? Because Jesus took upon Himself our sin and our guilt, our declaration of guilt, and He put it on Himself. When He went to Calvary and He took upon Himself our dull, our darkness, our death, and He took it to the cross of Calvary. And whosoever would believe that, amen, could get off that cross in Christ and in the power of His resurrection and be raised up in the righteousness of God. That's the reason why somebody said, "Boy, they looked different, didn't they?" They had a smile on their face when they got up. Somebody said they shouted when the burden was rolled away. What happened? The guilt is gone. Righteousness has came in. But I felt light as a feather. Why did you feel light as a feather? Because the guilt was gone. And your sin was forgiven. And blessed is the man whose iniquity and sin is covered. Covered by His blood. He shed at Calvary. And we stand wherever we are in the presence of a holy God. You can stand here in the church house in His presence. You can stand in your home in His presence. You can be in the lower 40s. And stand guiltless in the righteousness of God and in the presence of our Heavenly Father. We can come now boldly before the throne of grace and obtain help in time of need. Amen. At one time we couldn't do that. We couldn't come boldly before the throne of grace because we were outcast because of our sin. But Jesus forgave us, ushered us into the holiest place by the blood of Jesus.
Lord said, come on, son. And we walk into the Holy of Holies in God's presence and say, now, Father, I brought him to you based on what I've done. And I want you to tell him what you want, because what you tell him, you're going to get it because of me. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, we can leave that place rejoicing in the hope and in the glory of God. Boldly, because of Jesus and his precious blood. This morning, do you have righteousness by faith? Or are you trying to get it by your good works? You'll never get it by good works. I'd like for us to get a song this morning. It's important that you seek after righteousness. The righteousness of God cometh by faith. There is the belief aspect. Blessing when you believe. While we stand this morning.